May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 399. 399. Amidst 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Hymn 399.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now, when Jesus heard these sayings, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. And he shall be delivered, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Let us pray. O most high and holy Lord God, ever merciful, ever gracious, ever wise, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come, we would not flatter thee with our lips, Lord, just to give thee the titles to impress thee, but we come to thee as beggars. Lord, we come asking for mercy, as the blind man. We come pleading grace. We come to desire to worship thee with our heart, in spirit, by the Spirit, and truth as it is in the Gospel. Lord, thou knowest how we come. Oh, we would join in. We would see Jesus. We would join with the opening hymn. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. And thou knowest why. Because thou art exceeding precious. And we have to say with Peter, in all his shame and confusion and sadness, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Lord, thou knowest all of us here that have a heart regard for thee, a longing for thee, who know thee to be their one thing needful. Lord, there are those here who long for thee, and we do pray in thy time and way, in thy season, in thy great purpose and goodness toward them, do reveal thyself to them. Seal on their heart that thou art their Saviour, their Redeemer, their husband, their friend. They will never forsake them, nor leave them, and will make all thy goodness to pass before them in the way. Do hear our prayers, for thou knowest the hungering soul. It is a mercy to need thee, but we want it fulfilled. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. But we have to come confessing our many sins. And what a terrible affair that is. We do have to bow in shame and acknowledge that we have sinned and deserve not the least of thy mercies. We need gracious submission to thy will in all thy dealings with them. Do give us quietness in bowing under the rod. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So we would come, ashamed in heart, confessing our failings and a life of it. Save us from selfishness. Save us from loving ourselves. Oh, that we might love the brethren more than ourselves. And above all, that we may love thee with singleness of eye, heart, and desire. So do hear us in our confessions, and may we turn to the narrow way to follow thee in thy word. Follow thee in the word. May thy word be our lamp, our light. But help us also, Lord, to venture nigh to worship with that gift from heaven, that blessing of the Spirit of living faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please thee. Thou wilt not be glorified but with through faith in the church. Also, we do need that faith in thee, or that pleading of thy precious blood, thy dying love. How vital these things are. Or may we be led to Calvary. May we be led to the garden. May we be led to the judgment hall. And may we be led to the throne of grace to worship thee, who art now in heaven above, exalted at the Father's right hand. So do help us to come this evening hour in that living exercise of faith, the gift of God. Do remember this house of prayer. Remember the dear friends at home who gather for prayer. Be in the midst and bless thy word. We do ask that Lord, that thou wilt remember the friends here. Bless the deacons, our friends the deacons. Help them in all matters, leading the public worship in their own matters, concerns, pathway. One in his loneliness, favour him much in his soul. Do remember the church and the congregation. Do keep them together. And may, Lord, they be kept humble and made willing to bear thy reproach and to bear the cross and to receive under blessing the whole armour of God. Do prepare each of us for the great day that is coming. Not one of us knows when it shall come, whether it be personal departing or the great day of the trumpet. So prepare us. May we have this in view, that will put many things right in our life. May that great day be in view. And may let there be, by thy grace, by thy love, by the wonders of thy redeeming power, let there be in those that fear thee, know thee, Lord, a longing, an anticipation. We pray this rightly. Death is very solemn. It is because of a broken law. It is because we are sinners. But oh, let there be light. Call us to know thee. that we may, as Paul was, longing to depart. We do not say this lightly, Lord. Thou knowest. We would not just say things, thou knowest. But, oh, do shine. Do shine. Remember the Sunday school. Bless the teacher's instruction. Bless the children, the little ones. Give parents wisdom and guidance in nurturing their children in thy fear. Remember all in affliction, pain, suffering, and sorrow. Lord, remember each in mercy. And bless our young people, and bless older ones, those in senior years. Lord, remember us in the churches in Zion. Remember the editors of our denominational magazines. Bless them in their labour, strengthen them and help them. Remember the pastors, remember thy servants. There are those in affliction. We thank thee one returned home from hospital, but be his help now and his loved one. Be gracious unto them. And others likewise, those may never preach again. Oh, do return to us as a group of churches in the power of the Spirit. Bless thy one spiritual Israel in this land and through the earth. The mission is where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Men in deprivation, famine, affliction, war, persecution, genocide. And we think of the troublesome times in the earth at this time. We live in solemn times. Stay the hand of the aggressor. We think of thy people in Ukraine. And we think of thine ancient people in all the horrors that took place. But, O Lord, give our Western leaders wisdom. How to deal with matters rightly. Appear for us in the nations of the earth. Preserve thy dear people in safety. Lord, turn us unto thee as a nation. Remember our prime minister and leaders. We live in serious, solemn times. O Lord, above all, do send forth those out of Zion, as in former years, to blow the gospel trumpet, to sound the alarm, under the power and blessing of the Holy Ghost. But, O Lord, remember our King and his consort. O, have mercy on these British Islands. O, we beseech thee. And in Western Europe. And, O, do preserve us from a world war. We humbly pray. But thou reignest. O, may we have been able to say that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, Lord, we would be mindful of every favour we have, the personal mercies, pathway mercies, answers to prayer, helps by the way, Lord, gospel mercies. We have thy words. We have a throne of grace to resort to. We have the glory of our great high priest, thy precious blood, thy dying love. Oh, we value these mercies. May we be found in the use of them. Lord, we pray. So give us that praise in our hearts for all thy great kindness and mercies to us. For not one of them is deserved. Above all, the glory of our great high priest, now exalted in glory, to whom we now come to worship God in him and through him. Now, Lord, what wait we for? Hope is in thee. Anything or any matter I may have omitted to bring before thee in this public way, Lord, do make up in giving and do forgive our every sin. Pardon our iniquity, for it is great. We plead and ask all these things in the worthy name of thine only begotten Son. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, be in our midst. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We ask blessing now, eternal life, thy gracious presence, and for Jesus to be revealed to us in our worship, in the midst. So we ask, O Holy God, eternal life and blessing now, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 221. 221. Ye children of God, by faith in his Son, redeemed by his blood, and with him made one, this union with wonder and rapture be seen, which nothing shall sunder, without or within. Hymn 221.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the Lord for all needed help and blessing, I draw your attention to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Luke 18 and verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18, verse 1, the latter part really. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I suppose our natural conscience would speak within and say, this is true. We ought always to pray in every circumstance, in every matter, every detail of our daily life. But, dear friend, we need a heart given us to desire to pray. If prayer is automatic, is it really prayer? And we know that God answers a prayer of necessity. Friend, we need a reason to pray. And not just because of how we are, but a purpose. Is there any understanding in our heart of the glorious person who spoke these words? It is to him we shall be praying. We shall, of course, be praying to God. Did not Jesus instruct the disciples when they inquired to him to teach them how to pray, as John apparently taught his disciples? And he answered them, Our Father, which art in heaven. What a tremendous word. The Father. Do we realise that God is love? Why do we have these views and understanding that God is an angry judge? There's only one reason. Because of our sin. Because of the rebellion. Because of the Adam fall. May that point out to us how serious it is to be a sinner. Don't get used to being a sinner. I said at our dear friend's home this afternoon in conversation, you know, we don't want to be religious sinners, do we? But who can bear to be a real sinner? It's a shameful business. Friend, I'll be ashamed. And the Lord spoke to the disciples to whom to pray, Our Father. And we, of course, worship him and pray to God through the glorious person of the Son of God, who was made like unto his brethren, one with them, called them, quickened them, died for them. Are we among them? Well, have we this heart to pray? Have we an understanding of what a blessing and privilege prayer is? Now, sometimes prayer is an urgent, urgent, serious matter in the day of trouble. And none of us want to be in those places, do we? But you'll find in the Word of God, his people got into those places. We think of dear Jacob. And how he ran from his home because of the wrath of Esau. But look at the grace of God. There he lay down alone. But the Lord came. Dear friends, think of this. Are we praying? Lord, come. The good hymn, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Dear friend, we all know what it means. But have you the longing in your heart? Is there a drawing near in the Word of God? Dear friend, is there approaching the Word of God with reverence, with love, to read the Bible with a longing and with prayer and a longing to be able to kiss the pages, as it were, I don't mean literally, to receive something? Prayer. Men ought always to pray. The wonders of the God of love. Or that we were favoured. Ask. Ask. It shall be given. Do we really believe this? Seek, and ye shall find. Common words, I'm sure every one of us can speak them. But ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. What an opening. Friend, it's an opening into the kingdom of heaven. An opening. Knock, it shall be opened. And Christ to be found. Well, dear Jacob. And it was serious. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Yes, it's true. He had hold of the angel, the man that wrestled with him. But he blessed him there. Jacob feared. 400 men with Esau. What did it do? It brought his sin, his deception to mind. But there was a blessing in it. When you receive conviction of sin, when you feel the Lord's dealings against you, oh, consider Jacob. Then is the time to pray. I know all the time we should be praying, but as the Word says, and Christ is right, but then, oh, there is an urgency. There is then the approaching to the Son of God. And he blessed him there. You know, if only we could linger longer on these passages, anything that will take you to linger prayerfully. And I'm not talking about a study of the detail. I'm talking of the spiritual side, the framework of the Jacob's soul, Jacob's feelings, how Jacob felt, and how the Lord came, and so forth. Men ought always to pray. Always, always to pray and not to faint. In many examples, we think of Amalek attacking Israel when they were weak, beginning that long journey. What did Moses do? up in the mount. Joshua had to, there had to be a battle. Friend, there is a fight of faith. There are the battles in your life. Moses held up his arms in prayer. And Israel were being victorious. When he let them down, there's instruction here, isn't there? The enemy begins to prevail. Is it not so? Have you discovered this? Grace will cause you to see this. When you're exercised in prayer, it's going well with your soul. It might be trials and circumstances, but there's that communication with God. The God of heaven is your help. You're going to your help. You're going to your protection. You're going to the Saviour now in glory. But when the hands are held down and there's not the prayer, I know Moses was trying, I don't want to I'm not trying to give a wrong impression here. Moses' hands were weary. And so they would be naturally. But there was the sign teaching to Moses, teaching to us. When we get weary in prayer, then the enemy begins to prevail. And what havoc, what ruin is his approach. And when he begins to prevail, unbelief prevails then. Dear friends, we may have our fears, and we do. We don't want to be deceived. But there is that often, can God dwell here? And I've often said here and elsewhere that he dwelled in us by grace. But dear friends, you can't lay back on that, can you? He dwells in our heart by love. But we need him. We want him. True religion's more than notion. Something must be known. It doesn't mean you've got to rely on your feelings. We can't rely on that because we change. You rely on Christ. But Christ comes with power in the visit to the soul. It is power from on high. And Moses, when his hands were up, so Israel prevailed. It's a glorious type of intercession there, a weak one indeed, but there is a hint there. The dear Redeemer never fails, ever interceding. Think upon it. Think upon it. I think it was Mr. Moody, if I remember rightly, was driving a car. I don't know the circumstances. I heard him saying it, but it was years ago, so I can't remember much about it, but it went onto two wheels and he cried out, "Lord, help us, Lord, save," something like that. And it righted itself. Dear friends, Jesus ever on the throne, ever on the throne. Remember that, despite what you're in and how you feel. You know, we think of Hezekiah. What a trial. He did that which was right in God's sight. That long Passover. Yet, the enemy in the land, and then he falls sick. It's a double blow, really, you know. But he turned his face to the wall. And some of the language that Hezekiah used, dear friend, it's quite serious, isn't it? You know, I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living, shall behold man no more, the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed. He was facing death. He was facing death. But how could he leave the earth in such a time as that, when Judah were in danger? You know, but and the message from the Lord himself, set thy house in order, thou shalt die and not live. What a message. I know Isaiah went again, but you see, dear Hezekiah, you know, he wept sore. He said, did he not? Like as a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. Prayer, dear friends. Prayer. You feel it's like you're a crane or a swallow, a chattering. Just a noise. Mourn as a dove. Eyes fail looking upward. Did we not read of it in the publican parable? Dear friend, caught out, too ashamed to pray. Caught out in some wrong spirit or some wrong matter or wrong attitude. Whether in family, church, personal, business, whatever it is. And the Lord puts his hand in. And we can't look up. Too ashamed, perhaps too troubled to look up, too bowed down to look up. We'd mourn as a dove. I'm oppressed. But still the prayer, undertake for me. Undertake for me. I see the margin as all. Ease for me. O Lord, I'm oppressed. Ease for me. To the Lord to undertake. That means you're helpless. You've got beyond managing yourself. Not my will, but thine be done. Christ, manifest your dear Redeemer, the Saviour, in your place, submitting. Friend, and what a submission. To die for his people, no light matter. No light matter. To be willing to take the cup, which he was willing to come, but now faced. O Lord, I am oppressed, says Hezekiah. Undertake for me. But, you know, in that prayer, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. That was ordered by God. That's God's work. He's acknowledging and speaking to the Lord in prayer of his own work. But he had that hope, tremendous. So wilt thou recover me. Anyone needing recovering tonight, so wilt thou, God will recover you. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Friend, this is the gospel. This is grace. You know, it was for my peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Do you know your sinnership? You don't need you don't deserve delivering, do you? Have you come to that place? You deserve to be cut off, but thou hast cast. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Oh, friend, isn't that what you want to pray over? Isn't that what you need? I need it. Our sins, not. We know about this, don't we? Religious. We can imagine things. Isn't that a good word? No. Yes, it's a blessed word. But how were they cast behind his back? Through the suffering of the Son of God. Through the travail of the Redeemer's soul. Through the wrath of God upon him. Punishing him for our sin. You and I could not even begin to bear punishment for our sin. A real punishment. But the Lord, in his own arm, sustained him. Being the Divine One, the Holy One, the very Son of God. We think of Daniel and they're confessing the sins of the people. I'm trying to give a few examples here. O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and peace to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. We have sinned. Have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as it is this day. Dear friends, are you in that confession? O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against thee. What a good prayer was Daniel's. On behalf of the children of Israel, on the children of Judah. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech. You see the confession, you see the request. See the two sides, confusion of face, bowing down, yet the pleading of the grace of God. Dear friend, are we pleading that grace? According to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. And can we pray for Zion? Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. If we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. That's why we pray. A God of mercy, a God of grace. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. For thine own sake. O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. Dear friends, this way you see called by the Lord's name. Is Zion called by the Lord's name? Think upon it. Yet we have sinned. But see the urgency. For thine own sake. Thine own sake. I know I've said this here. Those last words that you pray at home and in public here. For Jesus Christ's sake. Salvation is in those words. Everything. Your soul hangs upon those words for Jesus Christ's sake. Dear friends, is it not so? This is the name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Oh, to be praying for Jesus Christ's sake. Friend, with something in our heart, some regard to him, some honour to him, desire to him, what he's done, his love, his grace, his appearing. Well, these are some examples. And of course, we think of Jonah as well. What a place. I've said that before as well here. You know, I don't like repetition, but, you know, some of these things are good to go back to sometimes in your own meditation. From the belly of hell, he cries. He was under correction. And he knew it. Friend, are you under correction? And you know it. If you are, you'll know it. You'll know it. But what's the result? He cries from there. He cries from that very place. He's not able to put things right. Jonah can't put things right. It's finished with him. He can't put anything right. His mistake, anything. But from the belly of hell, from the fish's belly, that is, of course. But what a hell it was to him, and his own soul as well. There he cried. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. And he heard me in the affliction, in the suffering, in the judgment, in the correction. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Many other things. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. I've often felt, and it worries me, if I were suddenly to be taken, and in that second, my whole heart was concentrating on something on earth. Now, don't let us go down that route saying, ah, but you're saved, it'll be all right. No, dear friends. We need preparing. Be ready. Oh, to be ready. Oh, to have all in our vessels. To have our lamps burning. Oh, to be ready. Dear friends, think upon it. We read of dear Peter, when he was shut up in prison, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. There was the natural leader of the disciples. I say that in the right place. Peter was the spokesman, and he seemed to be among them, the one who often spoke to Christ and who the Lord had to put right so many times. But, you know, he loved the Lord. But prayer was made for him without ceasing by the church. And the margin I notice says, instant and earnest prayer was made. Instant and earnest prayer was made of the church, unto God for him. And look at the deliverance. What a deliverance. It doesn't matter if there's 4 quaternions of soldiers around him. You know, his chains fell off. And the door was opened. And then the iron gate was let open to them of his own accord. There's spiritual instruction here, you know. The iron gate which leadeth unto this city opened to them of its own accord. Power. God's power. Prayer answered, dear friends. You know, here of course, they were praying for an individual. And we think of Paul and Silas in the stocks at midnight. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. What an effect. Yes, I know this were apostolic days. But you see, in the stocks there, they sang praise. The Lord was precious to them. And they needed him. And no doubt Paul and Silas knew that the Lord would look down on them. Friend, can I say this rightly? Does the Lord look upon you? I'm poor and needy. I spoke from it just recently. But I am poor and needy, says David. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. What a mercy. I'm poor and needy, yes. I'm wretched and undone. I'm vile and hopeless. I'm ashamed of myself. Oh, that I had not a self. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall live the body of this death. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. What a mercy, dear friends. Does the Lord think upon you? There they were. And what a gracious effect. Not only the prisoners, but then there was the jailer as well. What must I do to be saved? Well, the Lord truly spoke here. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And in the parable, which I haven't touched at all yet, have I? We have this instruction of that widow going to the judge and asking for vengeance concerning an adversary or to deal with the matter. And he would not. Then he said within himself, what selfishness among men? What self-importance? True Christians don't only think of themselves, dear friends. They think of the brethren, and they think of them looking to the Lord Jesus. Not looking around upon them in chapel or remembering them. It's crying to the Lord to remember them. Remember the brethren in prayer. In prayer. Remember brethren in prayer. He said, I will avenge her, lest by a continual coming she weary me. Well, what an example of why we should pray to the one who is neither grows weary nor faint. God, without beginning, without end, who never fails. What is your case tonight? What is your need spiritual? What is your need pathway? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Now comes the difficulty. Trust also in him. That needs grace given us, you know, to do that. Trust also in him. Well, he does hear your prayers. He does see you praying. And he does know your need. And are you his? Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. One thing is needful. One thing. We have many needs, dear friends. We all do. And we might think our needs are greater than others. But dear friends, every person's need, himself, he finds it the burden, a greater burden than considering others. But look at the Lord. Look to the Lord. Trust also in him. One thing is needful. My soul's salvation. Where shall I spend eternity? In that sense, we need eternity be made a reality to us, don't we? You think of it. Who can understand eternity? Where shall I spend it? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I mentioned already the publican. Men who think they're righteous, religious, doing well, walking uprightly, pleased with themselves, thinking if I do this, the Lord will be pleased. And so forth. Because if I don't, he'll be angry. How can I please God? Well, dear friends, there's only one way, and that is to look to Jesus. That glorifies God. That pleases the Father. When his only begotten Son, whom he loved, is valued, prayed to, gone to, is Jesus your hiding place. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Dear friend, there's much fainting. And it's not all fainting, you know. It's a lack of spiritual mindedness, deadness, coldness, cry in it. If you fear the Lord, you'll know you're not in a good place. Cry in it. Call upon him. Friend, that is the beginning of returning. That is the Lord turning to you, if you are given that grace, to cry in all your low places. That is the Lord's hand still with you. Oh, turn to him. Well, as we begin to close, oh, again I say, think upon him who you pray to. Do you know him? Any inkling? Any opening of his mercy? The only begotten, obeying his Father, loving his brethren, freely healing, turning none away. He turned none away. Yes, we read the account of the man that had many riches, was disappointed. He thought he could earn his salvation. I've not done this, I've not done that, I've kept the law. Was he expecting a pat on the back? I do not know. But he was disappointed. And Christ spoke. See, it's not wrong to have riches, but it's where your heart is, you see. It's where your heart is. Where your treasure is, there will be also your heart, or your heart also. Isn't it true? Is Jesus our treasure? Grace has made him your treasure. Wonderful grace. Go back to him. Return to him. Cry to him. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Why? Because he is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, a God of compassion. I think of Psalm 103 seems to be coming to mind. And what a good psalm. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. I knew a lady in Kent. When she got older, we used to take her to chapel, actually. She used to sit in with the children at the back. And when you said hello, I won't say her name. How are you? used to say, "He is merciful and gracious." When she went into hospital the last time, "He is merciful and gracious." And I beheld her die. Merciful and gracious. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Well, dear friends, oh, think upon whom you cry to, whom you pray to. Often in prayer, it's just our need in view. I know what it's like, friend, I know it. The burden so great. It's the sorrow, it's the grief, the judgment. And you feel it, don't you? You feel the rod. Yet, remember to whom you're crying. God Most High, merciful and gracious. Well, I will leave the word. And we read, did we not, of the blind man Bartimaeus, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." What wilt thou do, Lord, that I may receive my sight? And he said, "Thy faith has saved thee." It's a simple account. It's a simple account, isn't it? They told him to be. He cried the more. Cried the more. Friend, we need our eyes opening to know him, to see him. What do we read? "And followed him, followed Christ, glorifying God." Dear friends, are we rightly following Christ for his honour and glory? May we lay it to heart. Men, all prayer is a serious thing, a blessed thing. Dear friend, men ought always to pray and not to faint.
God willing, Mr. Bernard Burgess will preach next Lord's Day, providing he is well enough, and Mr. Richard Wells on Tuesday evening next week. Our closing hymn is number 591. 591. How blessed is the man who in Jesus believes, and on him can cast all his cares. A righteousness full and complete he receives, that hides all his guilt, sin, and fears. Hymn 591.
Thank you.
now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide upon us each, now, forever. Amen.